The meeting is now back in session, and we'll continue our discussion agenda with item J, California's Language Access Plan Status Report. Before I call the presenters to be seated to present that, we have a number of speakers on this agenda item, I believe five, and I turn it over to Justice Miller.
Thank you, Chief. This is item J, and we have five speakers that each have been allotted 4 minutes. And our first is Annabella Garay, California Federation of Interpreters Staff Representative. And as you approach the podium, I'll give each of you a warning at when 1 minute's left and 30 seconds. And thank you and welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, Chief Justice and members of the Council. I am actually going to have to yield my time to Ignacio Hernandez, our CFI legislative advocate.
All right, but he still just has 4 minutes, so you don't want to take your time? All right, thank you. Then we'll call Ignacio Hernandez, California Federation of Interpreters.
Good morning, members of the Council. Again, I'm Ignacio Hernandez. I know I've appeared a number of times in front of the Council. I am a legislative advocate for the California Federation of Interpreters, and I want to address a couple of things. One is obviously the proposed language access plan or the update, but also an item that was included, I believe it was the Executive Planning Committee, regarding a bill that we sponsored, and I think there's some clarification that needs to be made. So I'll try to dovetail the comments into one. Maybe I get a little bit more than four since we have a couple folks that didn't show up. Number one, let me address that the council is still sitting on about $14 million in money, carryover money in the state interpreter fund that has not been expended. We've asked for that money to be expended for civil interpreters in civil cases. That has not happened generally every year. Some money is expended out of that fund to increase language access. That has not happened this year. We want to see some action on that as quickly as possible, hopefully the next council meeting. We sponsored a bill to carry out a pilot project to expend some of this money for cases and for civil cases. That bill was vetoed. And let me clarify a couple of things. Number one, we worked directly with Judicial Council staff to negotiate more than a half dozen amendments to that bill. We took each and every one of those amendments that were programmatic. Nonetheless, the Judicial Council did not support the bill and, in fact, expressed concerns to the governor, and I'll get to that in a second, which we believe contributed to the vetoing of that bill, a bill which would have provided increased language access beginning in January in at least three counties in California. So as we talk about the language access plan, we need to talk about what actions have already been taken and how much further behind we are because of this bill being vetoed. One request from the Judicial Council, which we did take, was not to include the County of Los Angeles in the pilot project. We were told that there were individuals in L.A., not named, who did not want to be part of the pilot project. As we know, L.A. County is a subject of litigation with the U.S. DOJ on language access. The extent that we don't want to include L.A. is problematic. It's something to be talked about when we talk about the plan. There was one other issue that was raised that was not included in our bill, and there's been the subject of a lot of conversation, and it was a subject of what was expressed to the governor as why Judicial Council did not support our bill, and that is some fix to the government code section. Let me be very clear. That is not a prohibition on providing interpreters in civil cases. And that's not just my opinion. It's the opinion of the AOC Legal Counsel. If you read the memo, it's very clear. It's not a prohibition. Number two. On the government code section. I personally sought out and secured legislators to author a bill to fix that government code section. I personally lobbied Democratic leadership to get a standalone bill at the end of session to fix that government code section. And one of my biggest problems in getting that through and making it happen was that Judicial Council did not support getting that government code section fixed in a standalone bill. I want that very clear for the record, because it has been articulated that somehow CFI does not support that government code section fix and that we did nothing to help move that. We did. I did. And I encourage you to ask me questions, because you can ask me questions during this time. We will stand by and help with that fix in January, but we will not stand by and have our position misrepresented. We believe in language access. The interpreters are the linchpins to language access in your courts. We have been fighting for language access. We want you to be a partner. We wanted you to support our bill. We did not want you to contribute to the veto, which by not supporting our bill and expressing concerns, you did. And because of that, individuals who are limited English speakers are worse off than they would have been had our bill been signed.
1 minute, and I did extend you additional time.
I appreciate that. Let me just close out by saying, point out one other issue, because I know it's been brought up. There are some individuals that have concerns that government code section fix does not allow for interpreters in civil cases. It has never been brought up until this year. When the Judicial Council sponsored a pilot project bill a number of times, it was never brought up as a problem. The AOC legal memo, please look at it, review it, says it's not a prohibition. It's not convinced. A better argument, a more convincing argument, is that it can't, that interpreters can be provided, especially to the indigent. Let's follow through on that now. Lastly, the AOC legal memo does not even mention federal law. The U.S. DOJ was very clear that Title VI requires interpreters in civil cases. Not mentioned. Do you need any other reason to support our pilot project than that? We stand here ready to be partners. We took all of the amendments that you wanted. There was a commitment made to us that CFI would be part of a working group to provide additional information to your ad hoc committee and your joint working group. That didn't happen. We put it in our bill because we were willing
seconds.
To compromise
30
on
seconds.
That. Hasn't happened. Not in the language access plan that's being provided today, being talked about today. So we want, one, the carryover money to be spent immediately for interpreters in civil cases consistent with the pilot project, which you agreed to. Two, to include CFI as on an expert working group to provide advice to the joint working group and the ad hoc committee. And three, to stand with us every time we stand up at the legislature for language access. We went it alone for your issue, and we were told no because you did not stand with us. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, well, next call, Mariana Bencion Larkin, founding member, Association of Independent Judicial Interpreters of California. Four minutes, and again, I'll give you a time estimate with 1 and 30 seconds left. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Chief Justice and members of the Council. Thank you for the opportunity to allow me and my colleagues here today to speak. My name is Mariana Bencion Larkin. I'm a Spanish court interpreter. I'm state certified by the Judicial Council of California, and I'm federally certified by the Administrative Office of the U.S. Courts. I'm also a founding member of the Association of Independent Judicial Interpreters of California, which is a trade association started this year that represents other court interpreters who, like myself, work as independent contractors. We're not court employees. We're hired by private parties to interpret at various court proceedings, and a significant part of the work that we do is in civil litigation. It is the DOJ's position that as recipients of federal aid, the California courts must provide interpreters for limited English proficient individuals in order to fully comply with Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and that this access must include all court proceedings. This is a powerful statement and one that prompts many questions. The courts appropriately provide free interpreter services for criminal proceedings, just like they provide a court-appointed attorney to defend anybody who is accused of a crime if he or she cannot afford one. Additionally, the courts also provide interpreters at no cost for certain family matters, such as domestic violence. Also, low-income parties can request a fee waiver for interpreters if they meet certain requirements. As a society, we help the most vulnerable ones and who cannot help themselves, and that is a concept that we all embrace. However, one of the questions is, what about those limited English proficient individuals who are able to afford the services of an interpreter? Should California also provide them with an interpreter for free? What about civil litigation? Should parties who have retained attorneys, even if it's on a contingency basis, also be provided interpreters at no cost? The courts don't provide free attorneys for people who decide to file a lawsuit. The courts don't provide free court reporters for civil proceedings either. So why free interpreters if the parties can't afford it? The DOJ fails to take these issues into consideration and the financial impact that it would have on hundreds of us who could not or would not or chose not to become court employees. We are aware that establishing clear guidelines on when to provide interpreter services for civil proceedings is very complex. We also believe that the Interpreter Services Fund should not have to fund the services of interpreters in the civil arena when the parties can afford it. The state of California is in a serious budget crisis right now.
1 minute.
And independent interpreters, thank you, should not have, like myself, independent interpreters like myself, independent contractors, we should not have to receive calls at the last minute from attorneys who are obviously not working for free, telling us that our services won't be needed because the court has provided them with an interpreter at no cost. And this has actually happened very recently to one of our members. Imagine for 1 minute how litigant attorneys would react if all of a sudden the courts announced that a plan to provide free litigators in the name of equal access to the courts is being explored. Hopefully the advisory committees and the Judicial Council will take our concerns into consideration and some exclusions will be considered. And also it is our hope that the Judicial Council considers the voice of independent interpreters in this matter. And we will be addressing the DOJ also on our concerns. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next is Alejandro Abella, certified court interpreter, past president of CFI, Superior Court of Los Angeles County. Again, 4 minutes, and I'll give you warnings at 1 minute and 30 seconds. Thanks.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Good morning, Chief Justice, members of the council. My name is Alejandro Alex Abella. I come here as a past president of the California Federation of Interpreters, as well as a professional interpreter and translator with more than 25 years' experience in California state court and the federal courts. I'm speaking on my own behalf and on behalf of CFI, the recognized representative of more than 900 certified and registered interpreters of more than 50 languages now working in the California courts. I wish to commend the Joint Working Group for promoting greater language access for the millions of Californians hampered in their access to justice. Expansion of interpreter services is long overdue. As you're all well aware, the current situation is so dire that the U.S. Justice Department has seen fit to investigate the Los Angeles Superior Court and the California Judicial Council for policies, procedures, and practices that appear to be inconsistent with Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. But I do wish to sound a note of caution about the remedy being proposed to ameliorate the situation. I am referring specifically to video remote interpreting, which some are touting as a necessary and integral part of the solution. With all due respect, VRI, as presently contemplated, to substitute on-site interpreters in court proceedings is misguided and inefficient, and threatens the right to an interpreter enshrined in the California Constitution. As contemplated, video remote interpreting denies defendants the right to their own personal interpreter, making the privacy that is essential for attorney-client communications next to impossible. VRI is an unproven and poorly adapted replacement for the best language access aid now available, a real-life interpreter in the courtroom. Nonetheless, if appropriately deployed to ensure access, interpreters would not oppose the use of VRI for one-on-one interviews with attorneys or probation officers and other out-of-court communications. Done right, we actually welcome it as another implement in our professional toolkit. But, as currently proposed, for in-court proceedings, VRI threatens to be another expensive experiment in courtroom electronics at the expense of taxpayer and linguistic minorities. You can do better than that. Rather than redirect precious interpretive budget resources to glittering tech fixes, look to the workforce at your disposal, both employees and contractors. Of that employee workforce, more than 500 of them in Los Angeles and the Bay Area are now working under expired contracts, have not had any COLAs for nearly 7 years, and have no wage steps like other employees. These dedicated language experts have been subjected to disparate treatment in the court system for years, separate and unequal. This must end. I invite you to work with CFI in crafting a solution. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Next is Daniel Navarro, Certified Court Interpreter, Superior Court of San Francisco County. Thank you and welcome, and same time limitations. And
thank you. Good morning, Chief Justice and Council members. Just have a moment. My name is Daniel Navarro. I've been a court interpreter since 2001. I'm a former member of CEAP, the Interpreter Advisory Panel of this body. California's trial courts have pioneered language access and built a workforce of skilled interpreters who provide personal, flexible, and cost-effective access. The attention our Chief Justice brings to access is encouraging. I caught Your Honor's TV interview on Sunday, and I was glad to hear the court express concern over the pay-for-play system that results from shrinking access. I ask the council members to bear in mind Your Honor's stated concern when considering the language access plan and in particular video remote interpreting. I oppose video remote interpreting for frontline service delivery in and around the courtroom because it will degrade access and compromise interpreter performance. Rigorous testing has not been done. Read the Harvard Law Review article. I'm happy to forward it. It addresses video-mediated communications and its impacts on due process and case outcomes. Rating interpreter resources to beta test an unproven and ill-suited technology can't be justified, linguistically or fiscally. And yet, AOC negotiator Joe Wiley holds up BRI as a hill to die on. Why? It's a solution in search of a problem. Focus instead on tapping our expertise efficiently and on-site. Streamline coordination to make us available for ancillary services. Analyze the unmet need in civil and what it will require using on-site interpreters. Let us train bilingual staff. Create interpreter, translator, and management positions. Because without a job pipeline, language access simply will not flow. Interpreters are mobilized. This past Wednesday, we were leafleting our courthouses, and the lawyers and judges that we know and work with grasp quickly that VRI is a penny-wise approach to language access. They cite its impracticalities and threats to service quality. They tell us loud and clear, it won't work. Interpreters are here, and I close by acknowledging my colleagues here today and our shared commitment to this challenging profession and our enduring will to serve the needs, the language needs of the public when going before the state's courts. Thank you.
Thank you. Chief, that concludes the public comment for item J. And again, I would just like to personally thank all those who appeared and took the time and effort to travel here. And as a judicial council member, and I know I speak for other council members, we appreciate the information you give us because it is invaluable in allowing us to look at the issue. So thank you. And Chief, that concludes public comment.
Thank you, Justice Miller. I concur in your comments, thanking everyone here.